We're going back many, many years for this, but I grew up in Northern California in quite a poor rural area. Some of my best friends from elementary and middle school live like 10 to 15 miles away, so on weekends, instead of just going over to visit for the day, we'd have sleepovers to save our parents driving these crazy round trips. So I had this one friend called Star, whose parents were like old school hippies. Their house always smelled of patchouli. They were vegan before vegan was even really a thing, and aside from a few unusual recreational activities, they were basically just as good as being parents as any other couple. They were sweet, loving, and attentive, and I always had a ball whenever I went to sleepovers at their place, mainly because they'd let us stay outdoors in a tent at night, which was just such a huge adventure for a little group of preteen tomboys. Anyways, this one night we're staying in a tent in the backyard, but it was a backyard that extended to one side of the house. Where we're camped is in the view of the TV room window, so Star's mom and dad could keep an eye on us, but it also meant we could see the driveway from the flap of our tent. It was summertime, so it was still incredibly warm at night, so we ended up leaving the tent flat unzipped to let some cool air in. It obviously wasn't open all the way, because bugs, but we can still see outside the tent. Then, in the middle of the night, Star shakes me awake and whispers, "There's someone in the driveway." I'm thinking it might have been her big brother, who was a few years older than us and was attending college, but when I suggested that, she said, "No, it's a bunch of people, look." I start getting real anxious hearing that, so I quietly creep up to the tent flap to peek out, and that's when I saw that Star was exactly right. In the little bit of moonlight that we had, I literally lost count of the number of people I saw creeping up her driveway. It was seriously one of the scariest moments of my life, mainly because there was absolutely nothing to do but keep as quiet as possible. We couldn't call the cops, this was way before cell phones. We couldn't warn Star's parents without revealing our presence. We were just powerless, forced to watch people who obviously didn't have good intentions slowly approaching Star's house. I think in the end, Star just broke, and in a move you could either call real brave or real stupid, she just ran out of the tent shouting, "Get away from my house," and then, "Mom, Dad, call the cops." As soon as she starts screaming, a bunch of flashlights burst into life, obviously held by the guy sneaking up the driveway. And oh my god, there were so many of them. At first glance in the darkness, it looked no more than about 5 or 6 people, but when they all turned their flashlights on, it was clear the number was more like 15 or 20. I just hear, "Sheriff's Department, show me your hands." And that was incredibly confusing because we were all about calling the cops to get help, but like, the cops were already here? Anyway, Star does as she's told, while me and our friend start climbing out of the tent with our hands in the air. That's when the person approaching us started saying, "Jesus, they're just kids, man." And with them being closer, I could see that they really were cops, with caps and badges and all patches on their arms, all that stuff. Then I hear, "Go, go, go, get in there." And the cops start bashing the front door to the house in while other cops fanned around the backyard and headed towards one of the barns. We were scared, obviously, but we're so focused on just staying down and watching that we're not really freaking out too bad. But when the cops start dragging Star's mom and dad out of the house and arresting them, she had to be restrained by the cop that was guarding us. After that, the cops drove me and our friend back to our respective homes. Then, I don't know what they did with Star. I think they took her to her grandma's or her aunt's or whatever. Then a few days later, we find out that Star's mom and dad had been growing something they shouldn't have in one of their barns. I get that it was illegal and stuff, but the aftermath was just so sad. Star had to go live with her relatives because her parents were sent off to prison for a few years. It was messed up. And I get that the cops were just doing their job and stuff, but it was definitely one of the scariest times of my life, seeing all those figures in black just creeping towards my friend's house. So, back when I was a kid, me and my best bud were having a sleepover. His mom and dad had gotten a divorce a couple months prior, so to counter all the stress of it, he pretty much got whatever he wanted. Not like his mom was spoiling him or anything, she was just being super nice to make sure he wasn't too bummed about his dad leaving. Did it work? Yes and no. Getting to have his friends sleep over, getting an Xbox, a cell phone, and getting much more personal freedom was all well and good, but every so often you could tell the whole thing was getting to him. The good thing was, I got to spend a whole bunch more time with him to give him the support we needed, which coincidentally meant that I was there for one of the worst moments of his childhood. Actually, make that both our childhoods. So, we're having a sleepover, and his mom is having a friend over. We're upstairs, they're downstairs. At one point, I wanted a glass of water, so I head downstairs, but he had to walk through the TV room to get to the kitchen, and when I do, I see my buddy's mom's friend is a dude, and they're getting kinda close, if you know what I'm saying. They jump off each other when I walk into the room. I walk through like, don't mind me, and it's incredibly awkward as I walk back through with my glass of water. Then, I make the mistake of mentioning it to my buddy. He's clearly not happy with the fact that it's a dude. Like, we're ninth graders at this point, so we're pretty savvy to, you know. Anyway, my buddy isn't happy, but he just does his usual thing of internalizing it before distracting himself. Not the best coping mechanism in hindsight, but it is what it is. Then, remember that cell phone I mentioned? Well, his mom bought it for him so he could keep in touch with his dad, which he then does. And guess what's the first thing he tells him? Yep, that there's a strange dude over at his house. I totally blame myself in the moment. It sucked so hard, and when my buddy hung up, turned to me with a smug grin and said, "Dad's on his way over." I just knew something bad was going to happen. I kind of wanted to leave, but at the same time, my whole reason for being at that time was being a good friend to Ryan. I had a really healthy family life at home. Like, my mom and dad were a loving, dedicated couple, right up until the day my dad passed. And I'd like to think they raised good kids. But Ryan, his parents were total morons. And good God, did that make me feel guilty. So, I stuck around. I knew something horrible was going to happen, but I had zero freaking clue to how bad it would really be. My buddy's bedroom window overlooked his driveway, so when his dad finally did show up, we could see and hear almost everything that went on down there. His dad, and I'm not embellishing here, hurtles up the driveway at like 40 miles an hour, screeches to a stop, and then doesn't even shut his door when he climbed out of his car. Ryan is watching him, looking at him like his dad is a knight in shining armor for a few seconds, right up until he says, "Oh crap, I think my dad has a gun." Hearing that final word sent this razor-sharp icicle running right through my guts. I knew there'd probably be shouting and fighting, but shooting? Then all we hear through an open window is, "Where is he?" It was Ryan's dad. He'd banged on the door until his mom answered, and then demanded to know where her guy friend was. Ryan's mom's all like, "I don't know what you're talking about." But then Ryan's dad goes from 0 to 100 in a second flat. "Don't lie to me, Linda, where is he?" he says. There's this very real, palpable pause, and me and Ryan are just on this very tense, nervous feeling. Then his mom says, "Who told you?" Again, shiver of ice through my stomach, because I'm basically the one who told, and in that moment, I told myself that whatever was about to happen was completely my fault. "See?" Ryan's dad exploded at the admission. "You're a freaking liar, Linda. Now get out of my way." We could hear Ryan's mom screaming for a second. Then we heard another voice, only this one is definitely inside the house. The guy friend. "Get off!" he screamed. You heard the guy start to shout something at Ryan's dad. Then he just went totally silent, and all you could hear were feet beating against the floorboards downstairs. All before, bam, bam, bam. 3 distinct gunshots that echoed around the house. Me and Ryan are just bawling at this point, because we could still hear his mom screaming, and we had no idea if she'd been shot, if the boyfriend was dead, if the boyfriend had a gun and fired at Ryan's dad. The whole situation was traumatic enough, but the not knowing, man, that was just the worst. I had to grab Ryan's cell phone off of him to call 911. He just totally shut down from the stress. He'd had a rough enough few months while the whole divorce thing went on, then now he had to deal with potentially a dead mom or dad. I don't blame him, honestly. It was bad enough for me, and it wasn't even any of my parents. The three shots were all heard, and before the cops showed up, the only sounds we could hear were Ryan's mom crying downstairs. We should have gone to check on her. I know we should have, but the dispatcher told us both to stay put because we didn't know if there was still an active shooter or whatever, so we did as we were told. Thankfully, everyone turned out to be okay and no one was even shot. Ryan's dad had aimed the gun at his mom's friend as soon as he'd laid eyes on him, but the guy was quick and just bolted out the back of the house as Ryan's dad pursued. He fired three shots, but it was basically just to scare the guy away at that point, and I heard none of the bullets even went near him. But still, it was terrifying, and Ryan's dad ended up going back to prison for a long while because of it. I remember going to my first ever sleepover in fourth grade. The nighttime was great. We played Nintendo, made a fort out of the couch cushions in his TV room, everything a kid could dream of. We went to bed way later than usual, told spooky stories while we shined flashlights at the ceiling. It was every part the Norman Rockwell cliche. Right up until the next morning. We wake up bright and early. He heads out to the bathroom, but when he does, I hear his mom whispering something to him in the hallway outside his bedroom. Then he comes back in and really somberly says, "My mom says you gotta go home." Naturally, I ask why, but he shrugs and tells me my mom is already on the way to give me a ride. As you can guess, we were real sad about it, but we'd had a whole bunch of fun the night before, and even kids know that the good times gotta come to an end sometime. Anyway, my mom shows up. I say bye to my friend Mikey and his mom, but I notice that his dad isn't around. He'd been there the night before, and he was a really cool guy, so I asked them to tell him I said bye and thank you so he didn't think I was rude or anything. Mikey said sure, but his mom just kind of looked off into the distance and stayed silent. I thought that was kind of weird, but it was really early in the morning, so I didn't think much of it. But I definitely noticed how the really fun, warm atmosphere of the night before had been replaced by something much colder. Then, when I got into my mom's car, she too was acting like something terrible had happened. I might have been just 9, but I wasn't dumb, so I remember asking her what was going on, that I knew something weird had happened and I'd rather just know. So, she tells me. She tells me that while me and my buddy were sleeping peacefully in our pillow fort, his dad had an aneurysm in the next room and was dead before anyone had woken up. It was bad. I know that seems like an understatement, but it was worse than I could have imagined. His mom pretty much fell apart, and she and my friend left town shortly afterward to go live with relatives. It's something that haunted me for a long time, knowing I was so close to a death like that, as well as seeing how a sudden death can just wreck someone's mental and physical health. Like the last time I saw his mom, she'd lost a whole bunch of weight, a complete shadow of her former self. My buddy looked pretty bad too, but he was definitely taking it much better than she was. That was the last time I saw either of them, when they came over to break the news that they were moving away. It sucked, and we promised to stay in touch, but I guess things don't always turn out the way you want them to. Way back when I first started middle school, it was in a different part of New Jersey, so I didn't really know anyone. I was terrified I wouldn't be able to make any new friends, so imagine my relief when I met Jenny. Jenny isn't her real name, and I'm not going to use any real names in this for reasons that will become obvious. So me and Jenny became fast friends, so we decided to have ourselves a little sleepover at her mom's place. Our parents talked it over and we arranged for me to go home with her on a Friday after school, then my mom would come get me on the Saturday morning. The Friday arrives, I catch the bus back to Jenny's place with her, and this marks the first time I ever met Jenny's mom. She seemed weird, to say the least. Jenny's dad wasn't in the picture anymore, and I don't think her mom took it very well, because she was the kind of woman who was in the crystals and Reiki and all that other spiritual stuff. Maybe she was into that stuff before he left her. The point is, she was that kind of witchy woman, I guess you could say. The evening started off with Jenny's mom being quirky but nice. But at a certain point, she started opening bottles of wine and drinking them super fast. Like even at 13, I'd recognize that there was something not right about the way she drank. But given I was spending most of my time in Jenny's room, I didn't think it'd really matter. Wrong. Because at one point, Jenny's mom walks into her bedroom where we're hanging out and half collapses down into the bed with a, "What you girls doing?" I don't know if other people can relate to this, but I always used to find drunk adults to be really, really creepy. Seeing how something as simple as a drink could change them so much, and not even for the better, ugh, it made my skin crawl. But a scary story about, "Oh, poor me, I don't like drunk people," that's not what you guys are here for. So I'm sure you'll be pleased to hear that that's not the scary part. The scary part was when Jenny's mom started channeling spirits. It was legitimately one of the creepiest freaking things I'd ever seen. Seeing this grown woman trying to change her facial features and her voice to make out what the dead were talking through her. I knew it wasn't real. I was 13, not dumb, but seeing her like believe it was happening, it was honestly one of the most disturbing things I'd ever seen. She'd pretend to be some long-dead murderer and talk about the murders they committed. Then she'd pretend to be a child cancer patient talking about how scary it was to die so young. Sick stuff like that. And we had to listen to her drone on for like an hour or so, telling us all kinds of things that 13-year-old girls should definitely not be hearing. Eventually, she tired herself out and passed out on Jenny's bed. She just excused her mom and we continued the sleepover in the TV room. I was mortified for her, but to Jenny, this was the most normal thing in the world. Then, about 4 or 5 months later, just before summer break, Jenny's mom suffered a complete nervous breakdown and tried to stab her with a bread knife. It was a whole thing in our town, and I don't think I'd ever seen Jenny again. Thankfully, she did end up getting adopted by a distant cousin who lived a few towns over, and so we still got to hang out every once in a while. But her mom was admitted to a psychiatric hospital, and I know that had a really negative effect on her. Me and Jenny lost touch after high school, but if she's out there and she just so happens to be reading this, I hope you're okay. I miss you, and I hope you and your mom are doing just fine now. Back when I was a kid, I had this friend in elementary school. We were super close, sat next to each other in class, hung out every recess and lunch. So, at one point, we planned a little sleepover. My parents' place was kind of small at the time, but she lived in this big old house with her grandparents. So it was arranged we'd have our sleepover there instead. I never found out why she lived with them or where her parents were, but I distinctly remember my mom and dad telling me not to ask her questions about them, for obvious reasons in hindsight. The only thing was, my friend seemed really, really set on having the sleepover at my place. I mean, to the point where, when we had no choice but to have it at her grandparents' place, she seemed to not want to have a sleepover anymore. I had to convince her to have it at her place just because I was so excited about the idea of having the sleepover in general. Anyways, it comes to the night of the sleepover. I go over to her grandparents' place, and it's every bit as fun as I imagined. We watched movies up in her room, had pizza delivered, ate ice cream right out of the tub, and her grandparents seemed really sweet and nice. Then I think it was around 9 p.m. Her grandpa knocks on the door, pokes his head in and tells us that he and my friend's grandma are headed to bed, so we're to keep the noise down. We're like, okay, good night. He leaves, and we carry on with our night. A little while after, I get up and head over to the door, telling my friend I needed to use the bathroom. She jumps up, throws herself between me and the door, and is like, you can't go out there. You wake up Grandpa. I tell her not to worry and that I'd creep down the hall on tippy toes so as not to wake him, but my friend still refuses to let me leave the room. I think she's actually playing around for a second. I'm like, quit it, and try to get past her, but she actually shoves me back away from the door with this angry look on her face. I didn't want to start a fight with her, after all. The whole objective was to keep as quiet as possible, but still, I needed to use the bathroom. So I asked her where I'm going to go, and get this. She reaches under her bed and pulls out one of the plastic stationery trays. You know, like the inbox and outbox kind you put paper in? Yeah, that kind. She points at this paper tray and is just like, go in this. Again, I think she might be playing a weird and cruel sort of trick on me, but she's deadly serious. She actually wanted me to pee in that stationery tray. So I did. It was super gross, but I did it, and instantly, the mood is just destroyed. I had nothing to clean myself up with. I'm pretty sure I peed a little on my nightgown. It was just all kinds of disgusting. But still, my friend won't let me go to use the bathroom to wash up. The weirdest thing was, she acted like it was normal. She never did anything like that at my house, and she definitely didn't seem like that kind of kid, like she wasn't known as the stinky kid in school or whatever. The whole thing just kind of blew my mind, and although I didn't let it affect our relationship or friendship or anything, I definitely didn't like to stay over at her house again. We stayed close for a long time after, but ended up going to different high schools because she moved in with her aunt over in St. Paul. We kept in touch using MySpace, back when that was still a thing, but I never got to the bottom of her weird nocturnal bathroom habits, not until well after her grandpa passed away. When he died, she seemed to take it really bad. When I called her, she broke down crying so bad that she had to hang up, and she wouldn't return any of my texts, no matter how much I begged her to get in touch. In the end, me and my mom looked up her aunt's home phone number and called ahead before we drove over. The aunt seemed more than happy to talk to us, but with the caveat that she had something very, very serious to tell us. My friend's grandpa had been doing stuff to her. Whenever her grandma was asleep, she got up to use the bathroom or whatever, her grandpa would hear her come out of his room and, God, I can't even bring myself to say it. Turns out he'd done the exact same thing to her mom too, and that's like half the reason she wasn't in the picture anymore. One of the other reasons was the drug use, which is why no matter how much she insisted on custody not being given to the grandparents, a judge ignored her and did it anyway. I think they were just so terrified of him that they just couldn't talk about it, ever, and it was only after he died that it all came spilling out in various forms. The aunt that she was living with was her mom's cousin, so obviously wasn't around for what was happening when they were kids. It was absolutely horrifying hearing about it, just as her friend, so I can only imagine how terrible the aunt felt, knowing she was so close to the abuse, but just not being able to see it. And then it all made sense to me. Why she didn't want me walking down the hall at night. Why she'd taken to peeing in a stationery tray that she kept hidden under her bed. She wasn't being mean or weird when she made me do it. She was protecting me. No wonder she didn't want me to have this sleepover in her place, and I'm really not trying to make this whole thing about me when I say this, but I feel horribly guilty for not saying anything to my parents at the time. I didn't want to embarrass her. She was my friend. My best friend. But that's just the thing about being a kid, isn't it? That naivety. You do dumb stuff even if you don't mean to. And that's what my therapist tells me anyway, and I try to believe it. I really do. But part of me will forever remain convinced that somehow, but part of me will frame, too.
Before starting the story, I wanted to share some context. I'm a 26-year-old female who unfortunately gets a lot of unwanted attention. I'm married, and at the time of this story, my husband's brother had lived with us. We live in newly built townhomes, and everyone in the unit had actually moved in within the same week of each other. In the townhome next to us lived a mom and her late 20, early 30-year-old son. And next to them lives another young married couple. We'll call her I and him P. We became friends with them because we're in the same age group. Now, this happened a little over a year ago, and we noticed that the mom and son had a guest staying with them. We didn't think much of it. Well, one morning I was walking my dog, and as soon as I walked out the door, I began to smell cigarettes. But I didn't really think too much of it because my brother-in-law smokes. Right in front of our townhome is a long patch of land that hasn't been built on yet, and I always walk my dog around there every morning. Once I reached it, I had heard someone behind me then say,
"You look really lovely today."
I looked back, and I saw that it was the guy that had been staying with my neighbor. I was kind of confused because I had just rolled out of my bed still in my PJs. He then said good morning, and I said good morning back. He then asked if I smoked, and I said no. I was already getting really creeped out by this guy, so I just kept walking, and by the time I walked back home, he was already gone. When I got inside and told my husband, he thought it was odd. We don't really know anything about this guy or who he is, so my husband just told me to be careful when I walk our dog. The very next morning when I went to walk our dog, I looked out to see if the creepy neighbor was out. I didn't see him, so I went on a walk. About a minute later, I had felt someone behind me, and as I looked around, lo and behold, it was him. I walked a little faster to put some distance between us, and that's when our dog needed to do her business. That's when I took her to the side so that my dog could poop. That's when the neighbor got closer to us, and the dog started barking and wouldn't stop. So I started to fast walk to a different spot in the neighborhood so that she could finish. He followed me there, and he got close yet again. It made me and the dog really uncomfortable, so I just decided to leave and go back home. Keep in mind, our dog still hasn't had a chance to do her business yet. Anyways, my husband was already at work, but I still wanted to call him to let him know what happened. He said to feed her and get ready for work, and maybe by the time I finished, the creepy neighbor would finally be back inside. So I did so, and when I decided to walk the dog again, I opened my front door, and to my surprise, he was in the middle of the road throwing punches. I closed my door immediately and decided to take her to my parents' house before going to work, and that I would just pick her up after I got off. During the rest of this week, I would only walk her whenever my husband was home, because I just felt uncomfortable, but I wasn't really sure if it was just me being paranoid. He didn't follow me again, but every time I walked, he would go outside to smoke and just watch me. I did tell my family about this though, just so they would be aware. It was now the Tuesday right before Thanksgiving, and my mom and sister had decided to come over to help decorate the outside of my home for Christmas. I went inside to look for something, and one of my sisters and my mom had stayed outside. The creepy neighbor had came out and looked at them, and then said,
"Oh, there's two of you."
My sister and mom came back inside immediately because they felt uncomfortable, now knowing that he had followed me before. They stayed a little bit longer, but they had to leave because it was getting late. About 30 minutes later, my brother-in-law comes home and I asked if he knew who the guy was staying with the neighbor. He asked me why and what was wrong, and I told him what had been happening. He then bolted out the front door, not saying where or what he was going to do. Since it was now midnight, my husband and I went to bed. I had to work all day the next day, so I didn't get a chance to talk to my brother-in-law and ask what happened. It's 2 days later and in the morning, which is now Thanksgiving Day, so I was walking my dog out like I normally do. On my way back, I see the mom who lives next door purposely checking her mail right at the same time I was walking outside. She then stops me and she asks me what the issue was that I was having with her son. So it's her son. And that's when I realized that he was probably there to stay, and not just visiting. I then told her that he had been following me around in the neighborhood and that it made me really uncomfortable. She then went on to tell me that I had nothing to worry about and that he's really harmless, that he has some personal issues that he deals with by walking, but that he really means no harm. Not believing a word that she said, I replied back with, "Okay, thanks," then went back inside. When my brother-in-law came downstairs, I asked if he had talked to the mom. That's when he then told me what happened. He said that he banged on her door until she finally answered, and he told her to keep her son in check, and that if he ever hears that his sister-in-law has another encounter with him, they were going to have a serious problem. My brother-in-law is a pretty intimidating guy, and he has a really short temper, so he made it very clear not to screw around with me or my husband. Since he was so pissed off, he went over to INP's house to cool off. Since he's been living with us, he became pretty good friends with P, and he also told them what happened. About a week later, me and I went to lunch, and what she told me next made my heart just drop. Apparently, the creepy neighbor guy is bipolar as well as schizophrenic. She told me that all the things the creepy neighbor was doing to me, he was doing to other women as well. One woman actually tried to pepper spray him, and he actually blocked it and grabbed the pepper spray right out of her hands, which happened to be attached to her keys, and in the attempt of getting her keys from her, he had actually punched the woman in her face. The woman called the police and got a restraining order on him, so he couldn't live in the apartment complex anymore. His mom put him in a hotel while she figured out his living situation, and he was creeping out the other guests over there as well. The manager tried to kick him out, but the creepy neighbor started talking a lot of nonsense and threatened to shoot up the place. The manager had to get the police involved just to get him out of there. They had finally kicked him out, so he went to live with his aunt until his mom's lease was up and she was able to move. So that's why he lives with his mom again. The mom actually has the audacity to say that her son is harmless when he's even hit her. She's afraid of her own son. The mom told I this way before he ever moved back in with her. I haven't had an issue with him since my brother-in-law went over there. Luckily, I work enough to be out of the house, but I still try to avoid being home alone. It's absolutely horrible not feeling safe in your own home. I'm really, really looking forward to the day we move.